Welcome, everyone, to the HPE Quick Tips Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Rizzuto. For those of you who may be new to the show, the goal of this podcast is to bring some of the best health and physical education teachers together to share valuable insights by providing one great tip per episode for our listeners to reflect upon and decide if and how they will bring it into their own classrooms. And today, I am honored to bring to you one of the finest health educators that there is to share how he uses YRBS data in his classrooms to provide a more relevant learning experience for his students. We all know how important relevance is to yielding positive results in our classrooms, and when used appropriately, YRBS data could be the best way to get your students truly engaged in a sensitive topic. So without any further ado, let's meet today's guest. Today's guest is truly a global educator. He's been teaching for 22 years both in England and in the United States. He's coached basketball on four different continents. He was the state of Illinois' Health Education Teacher of the Year, Shape America's Midwest Health Education Teacher of the Year, and this spring he's up for National Health Education Teacher of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, to talk about how he uses YRBS data in his health education classrooms, Mr. Andy Milne.
Okay, to get the introductions out the way, my name's Andy Milne and I'm a health teacher originally from London, England, but now teaching in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. This might be my 23rd year of teaching. And although you might have seen me on Twitter and read my Slow Chat Health blog post and seen a few other projects that I've been involved with, I'm really excited to be a part of Charlie's new project, the HPE Quick Tips podcast. So specifically, I want to talk about how I use youth risk behavior survey data in my health classroom. We talk about looking for a hook to get students engaged, and I found that using the YRBS survey data is one of the most effective ways to engage students. When we discuss sensitive topics such as relationship safety, bullying, stress and anxiety, depression and suicide, substance use and sexual activity, the ability to provide students with accurate data reflecting the behavior of their peers allows us to focus their attention and our teaching. There's no doubt that students are more interested in a topic when they have a personal connection to the material. And although we could use the excellent CDC data that is freely available on their website, I'm fortunate enough to work in a school that conducts their own YRBS survey every 2 years. We have a 125-question survey that we administer every couple of years in our health and PE classes, and students are required to take 4 years of PE in Illinois, so we pretty much hit every student. Many of the questions are similar to the YRBS from the CDC, covering the six types of health risk behaviors. But we've also added some other questions that fit into categories based on what we think is important that we want to know from our student body. Then once the surveys are collected via Scantron and Pencil, anonymously, obviously, they're sent off to a statistician at Northern Illinois University. And he filters that data based on the consistency of answers, etc., and the way they've been worded, so they can better filter for validity and reliability. In fact, one of the questions at the end asks students if they've lied on any part of the survey. And if they answer yes, then obviously we throw that survey out. Then once we get the data, our small committee at school puts together slides so it can be used and presented to pertinent groups. We'll filter it down and share select bits with students and parents, et cetera, that we deem are important. So once we've got that data from just over 3,000 students, how do I use it in the health classroom? Well, the first one is to identify the areas in which our student body is kind of feeling some pain and some hurt. And I'll use that as an advocacy topic in health education. So obviously hitting that national health education skill, I'll give students the key topic areas where we really could do with improving. And I'll give students choice and voice and let them identify one of those causes that they would like to advocate for. So for us, it's things like relationship safety and bullying, depression and suicidal thoughts, binge drinking, stress levels and their link to depression, the perception of substance use versus actual substance abuse, and also the experience of some of our marginalized students. We can also use the Youth Risk Behavior Survey to challenge perceptions, and I guess that's kind of part of a social norms campaign that we also have. So we will talk about perception versus actual, and we'll throw data out there. So for example, our students perceive that quite a high number of kids are smoking marijuana, certainly within the last 30 days. And yet when we look at the results that come back from students, consistently over the last six or seven surveys, the number is nowhere near as high. So we look at the role of perception, and if we think that more people are doing a certain thing, then we're more likely to justify joining in with that health behavior ourselves. And, you know, it's easier for us to be pressured as well. If someone says, well, everyone else is doing it and you think they are, then you're more likely to go against your beliefs and values and then, you know, engage in that particular behavior. We have a social norms campaign around the school that sort of reinforces that. And this is also key, that we use this youth risk behavior survey data not just in the health classroom, but also in other parts of the building as well. So there is a committee of people that puts together posters. We call them the Tinkle Times. And they choose one or two angles that we really want to get across to the students. And they're pinned up in prominent areas, including in the bathroom stalls and above the urinals as well, hence the Tinkle Times idea. And then what I've also done is taken the YRBS figures and the Tinkle Times idea and then had my own students create posters using that data that can then be targeted towards their own peers. So now we're looking at different communication methods and tailoring those methods to different subject groups and to different target audiences. So that hits that communication skill as well. I'll take the YRBS data and I'll import it into my iBooks. I'm a big fan of writing iBooks using iBook Author, and I can make sure that the data in there is the most up-to-date, relevant data that speaks directly to my kids. And when the data changes, I can very simply make that change. So my notes, my packets, my iBooks are always contemporary, always up-to-date, and they allow my students to make data-driven decisions based upon the behavior of their peers around them. Again, another way in which we use the data is that we can tailor our support groups based on that. So if we identify that there are pockets of students within the building who have a specific need, we can take that limited pool of money that we've got and better target those students so that we can hit them with educational materials and support materials as well. And so all of the above, everything that I've just said, I use that when I sell the whole idea of the YRBS to my students when we know it's about that time for them to take it. Because year on year, you'll hear that students say that they don't believe the data, and yet the data is pretty consistent throughout. And in order for students to skew the data, there'd have to be a very concerted effort for over 3,000 students to get together and all lie on the same question. So when I present the survey to students in this light, I feel they're more likely to take it seriously, particularly when they know that it's likely to shape the allocation of resources to students. And I guess it's also going to frame my curriculum as well. So if we do see that there's a spike in behavior in a certain activity, we're more likely to make sure that that then has a prominent position within our curriculum. So it's a great hook. It leads to the choice of advocacy topics. It allows me to target myths versus reality. It's great for our social norms campaign. It allows us to specifically target students for support groups. And it makes sure that my curriculum is up to date and relevant and personal and speaks directly to my students. So if you don't do your own youth risk behavior survey within the building, then go to the CDC website. You can pull up statistics for your state. You can refine that on a number of different categories, and I guarantee you that students will find it an interesting way in which to dive into behaviors and then obviously get that discussion going and see if you can start to shape future behaviors.
Andy Milne, everybody. Andy, thank you so much for being on the podcast and sharing how you use YRBS data with your students in your classrooms. Every health education teacher should really make every effort that they possibly can to try and figure out and decide what's going on with their students and in their students' lives, and try to make their lessons and their topics as meaningful to the students that are sitting in front of them each and every single day as possible. So as Andy mentioned, he's on Twitter. You could follow him at Carmel Health. You could find him on Voxer, and definitely, without a doubt, make some time to check out his Slow Chat Health blog post. And as always, you could go to rizzutoeducation.com, click on the link for this podcast, and I will have some resources from Andy's discussion today and some ways to get in touch with him if you want to dive a little bit deeper into this topic. So, as always, everybody, until next time, remember, it is health that is true wealth, not pieces of gold and silver.
Hello, everyone. My name is Allison Relia.
Hi, this is Craig Kemmler.
Hi, my name is Carrie Bullis.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is Melanie Lynch.
And my name is Mike Giannicola.
My name is Mike Graham.
Hello, everybody. I'm William Bode, and I've just been named the Shape America Southern District Teacher of the Year 2016. And welcome to episode 3, as we discuss how physical education teachers use video to enhance instruction and assessment.